You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Casual Friday, August 12th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is The Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday. And joining us on the program today will, of course, be, as is our wont on Fridays, Cliff Schechter. Not joining us today, that other guy. What's his name again? Chris Rosen.
Chris Rosen.
Chris Rosen will not be joining us today. I got an email lately. I got a meeting. One can only imagine what kind of meeting he has. Seriously. What could they possibly be talking about over there at movieline.com? See any good commercials this week? God, I don't know. I can only imagine.
Do you want to review Thor and Captain America again?
Yes, I have no idea. I have no idea. However, I will be running the interview I did with Marc Maron last week in his cat ranch. It's a very casual interview. And we'll play the first 3 or 4 minutes for the freebies, but then the other 17 minutes will be for members only. And just a programming note, I guess a retrospective one, I will be on Countdown last night. I should say I was on Countdown last night. David Schuster filling in, Current TV. We will tag that audio on the end of the members. The members are, because frankly, the members are the best. The other people, the listeners, the free listeners, you're okay. You're just not the best like the members are. But even if you're not one of the best, if you're not one of the elite, one of those people who are supporting the freeloaders who don't pay for this content at all. Just get it for free. Even you freeloaders can help out the show by donating your Facebook or Twitter account at donateyouraccount.com/majorityfm. Of course, we have a link to it on our page at majority.fm. I just wanted to give a shout out to Darren. Not only is he a Cedarista, that means he's paying $19 a month for this program, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you can become a Majority Reporter for just 50 cents a day. That's $10 a month. Chump change. With access to all of the archives. Go back, listen to anything you want. Darren, not only is he a Cedarista, he was the number 200 donate your account on our Facebook account. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And there is your shofar, sir. And of course, you can always support this show by buying your crap that you buy through Amazon, through our Amazon link. I don't love Amazon, frankly, but you can get good deals there, and you can siphon off some of your money that ostensibly is being paid to corporate America and kick back some money to me, as well as, and by me, I mean the show. Let's face it, folks. The Bentley that I ordered at the launch of the show, I'm still a couple of dollars away from getting. But you can also purchase coffee at justcoffee.coop, use the coupon code MAJORITY, and get 10% off. And we've got we're going to talk debate with the clown car debate with Cliff Schechter coming up in a minute. We'll also update you on the Super Committee. We will have more talk on the riots in London, in the UK, I should say, and some of the draconian measures that the Cameron government is starting to float now to control the rioters, including, you know, shutting down Twitter in emergency situations. That should really help. There was one really interesting aspect of the debate last night. I mean, aside from the fact that they're all clinically insane, and we will talk about that with Cliff Schechter in just one moment. We'll be right back.
Libertas LLC, new media, public relations, and strategy. If you want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, or what I call Cliff's Day. Cliff, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sammy. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Spectacular.
You sound a little... Yeah. You sound... are you okay?
Yeah, you know, I had to clear the throat a little bit. It's residual excitement from watching the GOP debate last night.
Yeah, that was...
That was right up in there in your throat.
That was quite a... That was impressively insane, I have to say. Let's before we get there. Well, I mean, I guess we got a couple of clips. Hopefully you can hear this. Let's start with Rick Santorum. But you know, let's get some of the sort of like, well, it was all insane, let's be honest. But let's get some of the sort of low-hanging insane fruit out of the way, because I think there was sort of one really politically relevant moment in the whole thing. But this is Rick.
Just to, not to cut you off, Sam, I wasn't able to hear the intro, so if I don't hear it, just I saw the debate last night, so just tell me
okay.
My intro music. So just tell me what scene you're talking about, and I'm sure I can still talk about it with you semi-intelligently.
Okay. All right. So Cliff can't hear it for some reason, but
I think you'll be able to hear it now. I think I fixed the problem.
Okay. Well, let's play this.
Cool.
This is Rick Santorum talking about gay rights in Iran.
I don't apologize for the Iranian people being free for a long time, and now they're under a malocracy that tramples the rights of women, tramples the rights of gays, tramples the rights of people all throughout their society, and is the greatest supporter of terrorism in the Middle East and around the world, and is setting up training camps and is working with Venezuela and other countries in our south of our border to threaten us.
All right, he basically just said, I don't know if you heard it, but he said, don't worry about it, Matt. He said that, you know, Iran is a mullahocracy, which I enjoyed that term.
It's a good line. Yeah.
And they're trampling on the rights of, you know, women and gays. He said gays really quickly and then went on to say
wow.
That.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rick Santorum getting all up there. defending people's Santorums, if you will.
Yes. Well, tell me what was your favorite part of the debate?
Let's see, favorite part. I very much liked when Michelle Bachmann said that she would be that she was bold enough to go against the debt ceiling rate. In other words, these days, if you know, it takes a certain kind of courage to destroy your own country's economy.
Yes, and so, you know, she did this, and kudos to her because it was a double down. She did this on the day yesterday when the S&P. Let me pull this here. The S&P came out. Standard & Poor's director said for the first time Thursday that one reason the United States lost its AAA credit rating was that several lawmakers expressed skepticism about the serious consequences of the credit default. In other words, they specifically downgraded our debt because, I mean, they could have been, there's undoubtedly they're talking about Michelle Bachmann, but to be fair, probably other Republican lawmakers, basically ignoring the notion that defaulting on our debt would be bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. She was there to stand up proudly and say, I'm still crazy, no matter what you say. You cannot uncrazy me. Now, mind you, I'll still take those farm subsidies and all the cash from my hubby's business to un-gay people, you know, like him. But the one thing that I'm still going to stand up for is not raising the debt ceiling so no one else can get what they'd like, and therefore I can bring down the U.S. economy, which, you know, you got to give her some credit on that. She's a woman of principle.
Yes, you have to give her some submission, or I guess I want to say respect. I get confused. All right, well, so Michelle Bachmann got out there, and she said basically that, when I said back in the day that I was submissive to my husband, what I was saying is that we respect each other. She's got the whole dog whistle thing down. She is extremely dangerous, I think. Bachmann, I find very scary because she really has the whole dog whistle thing completely down.
Yes, she does. She's actually very, very talented at the little sort of winks, nods, implications, crazy pinwheel eyes. She's got the whole thing going on. They know she's crazy, and she. I don't know. I guess I'm really interested to see where everyone else sort of stands on. Have you seen any polls and independents in her, Sam?
I haven't. I haven't seen much polling around her that outside of the Republican Party and the primary voters. I think that she can be nailed down in a general election in a way that obviously she won't be in a Republican primary because people are afraid of her.
Submit?
I'm sorry?
When you say nailed down, do you mean forced to submit?
Yeah, no, I meant respected. But the most interesting thing that came out of last night for me was, well, one, I thought Romney did a pretty good job for the most part on dodging the Obamacare question, but many people have speculated that there's no way for him to get through the primary without having to address the fact that he basically invented what the right wing now refers to as Obamacare.
Right.
The one point where it got tripped up was when he said, literally, almost, I mean, this was what's so great about Mitt Romney is he's so shameless in flip-flopping that he's actually sort of invented a new form of it. It's like a flooping or a flop-flipping. And
flop-flipping.
There was literally 60 seconds, I think, between the time that he said, look, healthcare is not something that you cannot mandate these things from the federal government. It has to be decided by each state. And I am for the Defense of Marriage Act because this must be decided at a federal level. States can't decide it. I mean, it was just fantastic. Now, you know, in the Republican primary, it's harder for them to hit him on this because they're just as hypocritical. It would be a little bit more difficult in the context of a general election. But
that's the problem is because they've all gotten the sort of, you know, Romney, I mean, obviously is literally a shadow of the person he was 10, 15 years ago in that, you know, or a mirror image, let's say. So, I mean, he gets most of the he takes most of the flack for this. But as you just pointed out, the truth is they're all this bad because they have to be. You know, a few of them are just crazy, like Bachman, who you know, I think is literally insane and can't seem to understand that, you know, if she takes farm subsidies and other government funding, that that is exactly the thing she's railing against. I'm not really sure she gets that she even can understand what a hypocrite she is. Maybe she can, and I'm not giving her enough credit for being a liar and giving her too much credit for being crazy. I'm not sure. But certainly, like, Pawlenty, who used to be a cap and trade guy, you know, a lot of these guys were for things that were completely normal for a GOP or to be for, you know, just a couple years ago. And they were the sort of the conservative answers, because that was back when Republicans actually sort of at least theoretically believed that they had to be for something and have answers to problems. So you guys are for, you know, you know, strict regulations in the environment. We're for cap and trade. We're going to do it the free market way. You guys want to do your health care plan that's single payer, theoretically. We're going to do ours through the free market, and we're going to do the what ended up becoming the Romney and Obama plan and was actually originally put out there by the Heritage Foundation and was a Bob Dole alternative to the Clinton plan. You know, that's where they used to be, but now they've gotten so whacked out that they have to actually run against who they all used to be. You know, because if you went through that whole group of guys on the stage, most of them probably used to be in favor of cap and trade. Most of them probably used to be in favor of some form of health care reform, you know, along the lines of the Heritage, Romney, whatever plan. But now they have to run away from all that stuff because they're not really allowed to be for anything.
Yeah,
so that's really their biggest problem, is that the historical memory of the party goes back like 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. And they've gotten just so much crazier. And, you know, I have to say, the whole the Bachman being a hypocrite thing, I'm not as bothered by that because, you know, to me, it's not that she's a liar. It's just that she obviously implicitly recognizes the value of those programs. I don't have a problem with her taking it any more than, I do. You know, not paying extra in taxes, even though I want higher tax rates. I mean, you're talking about policy. And frankly, I don't think it's that much of a winner. The right wing doesn't care. They don't care about things like hypocrisy or any of that. You know, she's good with God as far as they're concerned. I think ultimately, what's going to bring Michelle Bachman down in the context of at least a general election would be her relationship basically a fundamentalist Christian. I think what could bring her down in the GOP primary is that at the end of the day, you know, the wealthy establishment guys are just as afraid of her, I think, in some respects, as any other sane person would be. But the interesting thing for me, the only substantive thing that I think came out of that debate, as far as I was concerned, was when they were asked, would you even sign off on a deal that provided a 10-to-1 ratio on cuts to taxes? And they all said no.
Yeah.
And
well, again, that's another one of those things. You know, what's really interesting, I'll bring some context to this, is we know some of the places where some of the sort of Tea Party madness, not only, everybody wants to have, like, it just started a year or two ago. These guys are sort of the, you know, the spawn of the Birchers. They've been around for a while. Some of them weren't as radical and have been radicalized by Fox and Limbaugh and the whole crew. But I'll never forget, you know, when I was researching the book I wrote on McCain,
mm-hmm.
I mean, now we all kind of know Arizona is another place that's sort of ground zero for some of this insanity. I mean, from what happened in Tucson to the shooting there to the immigration bill and the rest. I was out there, you know, when a lot of them were first trying to undermine McCain when he was running for president in the Republican primaries in 2007, 2008. And they had kind of a list of things. And I'll never forget because, you know, this is only like 3-4 years ago. And back then, it was amazing. The things they were accusing McCain of, like, treason for were all the different things that have now come to define litmus tests for the Republican Party. The fact that he wasn't sufficiently, you know, he thought that gays deserved some rights and that he at the time was in favor of cap and trade, and that he believed that the gun show loophole should be closed, and that he believed in that there was a role for government in regulating campaign finance, of course, and the other things, all you know, and that he believed in immigration reform, all the things he kind of turned against, you know, because he had to eventually, and those have become like, you know, a number of those things have become the defining issues. You can't, literally can't cross these guys on any of them, or you're a big government liberal communist, you're kind of like what the Birchers were calling Eisenhower. You know what I mean? Which mm-hmm. is hysterical. And so that, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at, you know, in this debate. Taxes are one of those things. And it doesn't matter what's going on. Literally, the entire country could be on fire. And if you needed to raise taxes 1% on the wealthiest to put the fire out, they'd say no.
Right. And the interesting thing is that, you know, I'm convinced that the trigger will not be pulled on this debt ceiling debate, this debt, the Super Congress kerfuffle, and that we will get sold out by I don't know exactly who. And maybe we can touch on that on the Super Committee, but we will get sold out by the Super Committee. They will end up cutting Social Security and Medicare, among other things. They may or may not get revenue in the form of tax increases. Maybe it'll be the closed loopholes, and maybe they'll repatriate corporate profits. And but the interesting thing is that just as we have talked about the chances maybe of a Democratic congressman running against or woman running against President Obama. In other words, you need to vote for me to protect Social Security and Medicare from eroding further, not just from the Republicans, but also from the Obama administration, who seems perfectly willing to put it on the table. There's also, and that's a very tough dynamic, because you don't want to run against President Obama, because he's going to be your fundraising guy. He's the guy at the top of your ticket, and that's just the way these on-year elections work. Well, imagine, if you will, a Republican congressman who votes in favor of a deal that raises taxes. Now they have every single Republican nominee, potential nominee, has on record as saying that deal does not fly with me. And so if I am a Democrat or I am, I'm a campaign operative, that question I'm going to put up there every day. Like, you know, Mitt Romney comes to your town to fundraise, help you fundraise or to campaign. You're on stage with him. How do you guys reconcile the fact that you're on opposite ends of the spectrum about voting to raise taxes? And right. That's a liability that no one seems to be talking about. That I think, you know, we've yet to see the implications of that, and we're not going to see it for 12 months or so. But that's a big deal, I think.
No, I agree with you. It's gonna push them into all sorts of boxes. I mean, I think at this point, you know, there's so many of these sort of litmus tests, and you can't, you know, some of the ones I named, there's others I didn't name, and you can't cross any few of them. You know, I mean, look at some of the people they've taken out for, you know, like Senator Bennett from Utah, or was it Bob, was it Inglis, I think was the one from South Carolina, mm-hmm. I think, because he admitted, like, you know, that cap and trade was necessary. I mean, you know, they're going to be on everybody for even the slightest, I mean, they're looking at this point for scalps. You know what I mean?
That's that's my big hope coming. That was the most encouraging thing coming out of that debate, because I desperately want the super committee to fail. I would prefer the triggers to be released, because, you know, you can always get back discretionary spending, and it's much harder than it would be to much easier than it would be to refund Social Security and Medicare. And, you know, I think a lot of those cuts are actually illusory, is my sense.
Well, I want the super committee to succeed, because I think that's an important concept to integrate into American life. For example, like, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a roast beef sandwich or a turkey sandwich for lunch. And I feel like, you know, if I don't have someone there to help me, I might pick the wrong one and maybe offend somebody. So I'd like to form a super committee, and I figure they could help me out with that. Then I'm not liable. They make the decision for me, and then I can just go with whatever they say.
Right. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. We might as well, I mean, while we're at it, let's just get rid of the whole thing where we have to vote for our own congresspeople. Let's just elect 12 congresspeople and senators and be done with it. I mean, this is the most important. I mean, is there a greater function of Congress than to make a decision like what we should spend money on? I mean, is there a greater decision? Should we raise taxes and how should we spend it? I mean, that's the biggest decision. And if we're going to essentially give that over to a 12-person committee, why don't we just elect them directly and forget about all the other crap?
I think that would be awesome. I mean, yeah, maybe we're headed towards that. Streamline the system a little bit. Democracy can be very messy, you know, with the debates and stuff. Although I guess these guys on the right don't really like having debates these days anyhow. But yeah, you know, sure. Think of all the time we'll save, all the effort.
There'll be a lot of time saved. We could just cut the country in half, you know, East Coast, West Coast. Do it that way. We get six, they get six. That's basically it.
I like it. I mean, a couple of those Tuesdays, think about how much better you could use that hour or two when you go to vote. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff you could do. Rearrange your sock drawer, for example. That's important.
All right. Well, so. do we have a Bachman clip? All right. Let's try this Bachman clip.
All right.
It is it's about her explaining what the word submissive means.
You described a moment in your life when your husband said you should study for a degree in tax law. You said you hated the idea. And then you explain, quote, "But the Lord said, be submissive. Wives, you are to be submissive to your husbands." As president, would you be submissive to your husband?
Thank you for that question, Byron.
You're welcome.
Oh, we didn't get to her explanation.
The whole clip.
Oh, was that all the clip?
That was the whole clip.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. But she went on to explain that submissive is just a way of showing respect. Now, from my perspective, that was a huge win for her. You know, it's basically saying, like, you're a Christian fundamentalist, aren't you? Yes, I am. I mean, your views are extremely extreme, right? I mean, you actually think you should be put out into the woods during your monthly bleeding. Yes, that's absolutely right. Thank you for informing the primary voters here. That's going to help me immensely.
Yeah, well, and you know, there's such, like, even part of it is obviously a large aspect of this is religion. But beyond that, just pure sort of, you know, caveman mentality of some of these guys that are so sexist and you know, believe their wives should just be there for whatever they want anyhow among certain groups of people we won't go into. So, you know, they're going to love it anyhow. Because, you know, it's like a nice religious justification put on the way they live their daily lives.
Right.
Know?
I mean, so. that's her way of inoculating. I mean, frankly, they couldn't have asked her a better question and framed it in a better way. I mean, wait, does that mean you're going to be submissive to your husband when you're president? That's not what follows from there. The issue is, are you your own person? I mean, that's an intro into questioning her fundamentalist beliefs. Do you think that all women should be submissive to their husbands? Do you believe that women are equal to men? You know, those are the questions that really should follow from that. For the way that was framed was just basically, here's a free dog whistle for you. And, you know, that was...
It works in both ways. It's perfect for the complicated mind, or actually, complicated is too much of a compliment in a way. The simple mind is maybe actually more true. Of some of these guys who, you know, A, love themselves some religion, and B, you know, really, even though they won't admit it, love themselves some porn. And so the truth is that I think they dig it on all levels because, you know, don't think for a second there aren't a lot of, like, you know, fat old white guys having some serious fantasies when they get to hear Michelle Bachman and submissive in the same sentence. It's like the Sarah Palin thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like the Ann Coulter thing. It's the same idea. You know, when I was in D.C. a few weeks ago and I went to a I went to see our, I think, our common friend Liz Winstead perform through a comedy show, and she talked about how in certain many, how many parts of the country on the highway you'll drive and you'll see like the Ten Commandments up, and then you'll see the adult superstore right down the highway. You know what I mean? Now, one would think that would be a conflict, but it's somehow these guys find a way to integrate all of that and project all the negative stuff onto other people. So I think it's, in a way, it's perfect. She could say she's submissive. Half the guys are loving her because that means she's following the Bible to its literal meaning. The other half the guys are imagining her like the guy in the basement in Pulp Fiction. And they're all digging it.
So it's a twofer for her. And now, finally, like, what do you make of Rick Perry? Rick Perry's going to jump into the race. I don't know much about him other than he sounds really stupid. He's clearly fashioning himself as an evangelical. What is your sense what the implications will be for the Republicans?
Well, I think he seems to be sort of George Bush on steroids. And, you know, I take him seriously because George Bush was able to win. Now, when I hear a lot of the Bush people hate him, so he may not be able to have the fundraising success Bush had. I don't know, because Bush still had the patrician establishment ties. You know, and I don't know if that's going to end up being a problem for Perry. But if he can marry kind of the religious nuttiness to the establishment business stuff, then I think he'd be very dangerous because he has that whole swaggering, you know, I wear my cowboy boots to bed, cowboy doofus thing going on that so many people in this country seem to drool over, sadly. And, you know, I just saw something today in a listserv of mine where he came out and he said Social Security and Medicare are unconstitutional. So he's going to go for the full Monty, so to speak, with this. I mean, he's going to go for the whole thing. And, you know, I think he could be dangerous. Certainly he may hurt Bachman or others and take up some oxygen on the right. It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. And, you know, I think to come out, I mean, this is what this, I mean, to come out and say that Social Security and Medicare are unconstitutional is, fortunately, such a huge gift.
In a general election, different. I guess I'm thinking right now what he could do in a Republican primary. I think in a general election, it almost makes you forget. In a way, it would be better for someone like Obama to have somebody make people forget that he even talked about compromises on Social Security and Medicare, you know.
But if you get out there and you say they're fundamentally unconstitutional, they should not exist at all, you are helping Obama make a contrast with his nuance.
That takes you to a whole other place. That's what I mean. It helps Obama because, you know, a Republican who could run and slam him on Medicare, the fact that he was willing to deal away, you know, cutting Medicare or Social Security is a Republican that could hurt him on some of those issues. Whereas if you've got Perry out there saying something so unbelievably even beyond that, I think it makes people forget Obama ever did anything even slightly questionable on those two things.
Yeah.
So insane. So I think, you know, that would be hugely helpful. I mean, the only thing that, you know, I haven't got a chance to read it yet, but James Moore, people may remember, a really smart Texas journalist, wrote Bush's Brain,
uh-huh.
You know, on chronicled Rove and Bush, whatever, has a piece up at CNN.com arguing that Perry could win. And so I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I haven't seen what his justification, you know, why what he's saying, but that in and of itself, because he's been such a smart guy and kind of chronicling Texas crazy for the rest of us, scares me a little bit.
Rick Perry scares me too, frankly, because when someone that stupid gets to that level, then there's something that they understand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Texas
no,
is not I Alaska. Agree. Let's put it that way. You know, Sarah Palin, in my mind, was always I think I wrote this an hour after she hit the stage in Denver. I said, Sarah Palin is a burning tire around the neck of John McCain. And she may pick him up. She may have actually staved off a complete landslide, but she has made it impossible for him to ever win. And I think I may have written that she was going to be a burning tire around the necks of the Republicans. Texas is not Alaska. And this guy, I'm always nervous about a guy like this. But I guess we shall see.
Yeah, no, me too. Just because, I mean, look, we've seen it happen before. He's playing the same role that Reagan played and Bush played. Throw the politics aside for a second. He's playing the archetype, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the character. He's a swaggering cowboy,
You know, he's John Wayne from the movies. He's that whole thing. And you know, for those of us who don't understand the appeal of that beyond watching a movie and rooting for Bruce Willis to kill the bad guys and Die Hard, but saying, you know, that may not be what I want in a president, it seems that a lot of people in this country do want that in a president. So it's a bit worrisome.
It is indeed. Know? All right, well, Cliff, we got to say goodbye, and what we're going to do is we'll just say goodbye. We won't take a break here because we don't have the time. But, Cliff, we will talk to you next week. As always, a pleasure.
Always my pleasure, too. Thanks a lot, Sam.
Thanks for stopping by. All right, folks. Now what I'd like to do is get to our songs of the week, and then we'll get into the Marin interview. First up this week from Jimmy Reefer Cake. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to eat it. As progressives, we're going to have to eat it. And what are we going to eat? Well, let's listen to Jimmy Reefer Cake.
To whom do we owe this debt of gratitude? Who ran up those crazy males? It wasn't W, was it? It was Obama and all his crazy frills. So now what do we got to eat? What do we got to eat? What do we got to eat? It's sandwich.
Little play on Satan sandwich, part of this debt deal that is going down. And in fact, the Screaming Majority also, same theme. But this this week they toned it down a little bit, and it's a kid's song.
It's a very sweet song, yeah.
It's a sweet song. It's Barack's Immaculate Timepiece. Here it is.
You might remember when I was a winner, I brought you health reform and good old Dodd-Frank. But just now the Tea Party had me for dinner. I paid the ransom and they took it to the bank. But look at my clean, clean clock.
It's a clean, clean clock.
Look at my clean, clean clock. They cleaned my clock.
Clean, clean.
You know what the shock is? Just how clean my clock is. Look at my clean, clean clock.
Look at my clean, clean clock.
You see, I was trying to capture the middle. So I had to give up a few things. You might think I overdid it a little, 'cause I came back with a whole lot of nothing. I said, how much from revenues? They said nothing. How much from closing loopholes? They said nothing. I said, what about nothing? They said nothing. I said, you've got a deal. Look at my clean, clean clock. It's a clean, clean clock.
Look at my clean, clean
clock. It's the cleanest clock on the block. Look at my ass. So nice to see. Those pleasant people just handed it to me. And look at my clean, clean clock.
Look at my clean clock. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, what a...
That was, in my opinion, their best ever.
Wow. That is quite a bar. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I enjoyed it even more the second or third time I've heard it now. Fantastic song. Of course, as always, we'll post that clip,
yep.
Both songs. And before we go, before we start with this Marin interview, we're running a little late today, folks. I want to play this from Mitt Romney because this exchange, he had a couple exchange in Iowa, and this exchange is pretty fascinating. I'll talk about it more in the membership section because, as you know, our law in this country, the Supreme Court, because of a preamble in a case back in late 1800s, essentially said that corporations are people, and we know that This Supreme Court is treating them even more so. And they have actually in this country almost more rights than people do. Because for every right that a person, a real person, a human person has, a citizen, they have commensurate duties and responsibilities. Corporations don't have the same thing. They're set up essentially to protect people from liabilities. You cannot send a corporation to jail, for instance. And so Mitt Romney was sort of technically correct in some way, but the idea that he would make this argument, I think, is an example of just how out of touch he is, and hopefully will be exploited by those of us who don't want him to be president. Let's listen to this.
Two ways of doing that. One is we could raise taxes on people. That's not the way. Corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on. Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people. So, where do you think it goes? Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Okay, human beings, my friend. So number one, you can raise taxes. You can raise taxes. That's not the approach that I would take. Number two, you can make sure that the promises we make are promises.
All right, pause it here, because the interesting thing is that the construct that he uses to defend himself here is very strange. He could have said, look, legally, corporations are people. And maybe he realized, like, oops, I shouldn't even be saying this. I shouldn't be promoting this idea. But the construct that he uses, that they're made up of people, is ridiculous. I wouldn't say a baseball team is a person. A baseball team isn't a people. Buses, they're made up of people. People inside them. This is not people. Baseball team, it's a strange construct. I mean, he was really trying to, and of course, on Twitter, I put out, you know, it really does beg the question, what corporation will he name as his running mate when he runs? So hopefully this will be one of those things that sort of chases him down. We may see a lot of this. It's not, you know, in this country, when you say macaca, and it slowly unwinds what that means, that you're basically calling this guy, you know, the like a sand nigger, I think it was, essentially was the translation of macaca, not directly, but it was, that's what George Allen was calling I think he was of Indian descent. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But that's what he was calling that brown guy. And it's a, I believe it was a French Moroccan, a white Moroccan or French Moroccan term of derision. I think Moroccan. And his mother turns out, or maybe it was Algiers. His mother turns out to have been of that descent. And so it was clear that he grew up, you know, sort of the equivalent of saying like a Schwarza in a Yiddish home. Or Mulingan, or whatever it is. And this isn't going to quite have that resonance, but it will be an ad that we will see a lot of. Corporations are people. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play the first 3 minutes of this Marin interview, 4 minutes, and then we will play the rest in the post-show. I've still got a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to talk about them in the post-show. A lot of stuff on these riots I want to keep going on. And, well, let's play this Marin interview. Now, of course, I didn't tell him I was recording, you know, so I hit the record button. I was actually in his cat ranch. And I got him in to sit down for a little bit of an interview. I think it's somewhat enjoyable. So let's just start right in on it.
$89.
What, these?
Sennheisers.
$89 for these?
For five of them.
Yeah.
These five pairs.
Yeah, I don't use these. These were the old Air America specials. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, I am now recording live to tape in the famous What is this called? The Smelly Cat Garage?
No, the Cat Ranch, Sam.
The Cat Ranch.
It.
The Cat Ranch.
This is like Sun Records. This is the Cat Ranch studio. You're the first to really use the studio as a separate show. No one has come in and utilized my studio. Well, actually, Chris Hardwick did once, but I was a guest on that show. But
so wait a second. I'm the second person to use the...
No, you're the first to actually record your own show here. You know, you asked, can I come over and use the studio to do my show? And I said, of course. And
I actually recorded for Ring of Fire.
Right.
And now I'm recording a little bit of you. But, so I'm the first one to do it for my show. Well, right. No, you just said he recorded.
Yeah, but I was
you.
The guest.
Well, but you're the guest right now.
I know, but this is not different. It's because I just watched you do a show and I learned about some stuff and I watched you do your show. Do you understand?
No, yeah. I do understand.
You know what? Forget it. You're the first. This is a historic thing.
Chris Hardwick. I don't forget about him.
Oh, my God.
So I'm sitting here in the Cat Ranch. It is the sound is fantastic. The for some reason you refuse to have like any type of cover on your cat litter box, or it apparently it seems like you refuse to clean it out. I'm not sure why that is.
I have three cats.
Well,
I
mean, let me ask you a question.
I mean, because
you live in LA.
I'm
looking at my weather thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what the percent of chance for rain today is?
Zero.
Do you know what the chance of rain for tomorrow is?
None.
And the day after that?
Maybe.
And the day before?
Okay,
and
zero.
Zero. Why don't you leave the cat litter outside?
Because one of my cats doesn't go outside. And one goes in and out and likes to go to the bathroom in the house.
Well, you can't say shit.
I don't know. What show are we doing?
I have no
Is this idea. Ring of Fire or is this,
no,
this is your
just,
show?
This is actually just, I'm not. You're just not doing, even, I'm recording this so I have something to listen to on the airport yeah. On the airline ride back.
This is just general content that you may or may not use.
Right. No, I like to bank stuff. I mean, it's more just this is more for my daughter. So okay. Someday when she grows up.
Hi, Myla.
So we're here at the Cat Ranch. I'm going to describe it to people.
Okay.
Because nobody on my show listens to your show.
No, I understand that.
And I assume you've walked people through this place, right?
Yeah, a bit.
Oh,
see,
my
that's
God.
A sound.
Airplane.
That happens here.
Yeah, no, it's bookshelves in here, and then there's some tchotchkes.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah.
I think that only Liberace could compete with you in terms of self-portraits. I mean, not just in here, but, I mean, in your house. I walked in. Your house is, first of all, it's beautiful. It's far more, it's far nicer. I mean, it's small.
Yeah.
It's a modest house.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. You overlook the backyard is fantastic.
Thank you.
The house is gorgeous.
Thank you.
But you walk in and there's literally hundreds of self-portraits.
I can explain that. They're not self-portraits.
Right.
Because that would mean I would do them. They're
right.
Portraits of me. The two that are in the house were gifts from fans.
Two?
No, the one on the wall is my book cover. That was done by a painter. Then the two in the hallway. Three. The three in the hallway were sent to me. One was from Photo Fiddle, which was a
You don't have to. You don't have to.
That was a promotion I was doing.
Look,
where they
you
turned
don't have to justify it to me.
I don't know what.
All right, folks. We will play the rest of the interview in the post show, which we're going to go to now. As soon as we fire this up. You know, it's casual Friday here today, folks. What are you going to do? Folks, please become a member if you can. In the post show, we're going to talk a lot more news, get down and dirty with it. We'll be talking more about the riot stuff. People really interested in this topic, and frankly, I am too. We'll touch again on the debate, maybe, or a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about this Romney corporations or people thing. Maybe even the Bachman thing again. All right, we're going to take a break. You can join me on the flip side. I am me at Majority FM. You can call us at 646-257-3920. Talk to you in a minute.
Jim is an idiot.
Here it is, the Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
They're the bad guys.
Endless taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician.
Taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Right. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.